If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What the hell are we going to do with the time shift?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire.
I'm in the future. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people will become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, get with it. Take us mobile. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. Search DC on RMD. That is all good to go. We have officially switched over from DC on CW. Find us there. Listen, leave a review, subscribe, all of those things.
It's still weird to say it, isn't it?
A little bit.
I can't wait. Well, Ryan comes back this week from Japan, so it's his first show since we've rebranded. Guarantee he screws it up.
Oh, 100%. I was going to say 100%, and then I was going to say 100 bucks. So, like...
100 bucks.
100 bucks.
Yeah, all that.
I will bet that money that he screws up.
Oh, yeah. Because he won't even read. He'll just go into automatic mode.
Hey!
Hey, guys!
What's up? You're listening to Arrow on DC on CW.
Yeah. That's it.
Wow, that was uncanny.
I thought Ryan was here.
I thought he was
too.
Can
that be the new intro for every Arrow episode?
Yes. We'll just cut that in no matter what.
Perfect.
So.
All right. So let's get to it then. We don't have a lot of news. So we don't have any news.
No.
None at all.
I think the weirdest thing about this is these last two episodes have been the best all season. I think everybody agrees with me, right?
You're here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
The rating.
Yeah.
panic. Didn't clear this with the girls before I actually said it. Oh, shit.
Fuck.
Back me up. The ratings haven't went up at all for Lex.
That's so weird. So
lame.
Well, it also was out of nowhere. So, like, if I left off, I would not have known. You know, like, if I left off earlier, if I was just like, Supergirl's been a shit show this season. I'm not really as interested as I want to be. I would never know that Lex was on now.
Yeah, I guess it's always one of those things. I always forget that we're kind of, it's our job to know what's going on, and we do the news segments, and we know that somebody was casted for it. And if you're not following along, I guess you wouldn't know, right?
Yeah. So-and-so is going to appear in episode 15. That's our job to know that stuff.
Yeah.
But the average person, like, okay, for shows that I don't do any recordings on, like, we don't talk about them on air, nothing like that for me. I get my information as I'm casually scrolling through social media.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's where I get all of my, like, upcoming breaking news. This person was cast or whatever. Whatever it is.
Somebody would have to share it, or yeah, it just happened to be, like you said, on a scroll through some other website.
Whether it's an actor posting something on their Instagram or Twitter, or whether it's, you know, a game developer tweeting something, or whether it's, you know, Entertainment Weekly posting something about a TV show. I just so happen to see stuff, or if someone I know sends me something that they know is relevant. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm out there hunting for news on shows that I watch.
The latest scoop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of the times I feel like I'll go into a show, and when there's like a guest star or something like that, I'll be blindsided and I'll be like, oh, whoa, cool. I didn't know that was going to happen. So I feel like that's probably what most people...
The 99%. We're like the 1%ers that look for the shit for our shows.
It's not Game of Thrones. Yeah. So you know what I mean? It's not like every
Monday,
week there's a post from like Entertainment Weekly of like breaking.
You know, it's weird. And this is completely off subject. I knew that something actually happened on Walking Dead this week because it was the first time in probably 2 years that somebody posted something. And I think that's how TV shows go in general.
Like, do you guys remember that Family Guy skit where they were like, Radio Shack. There's one left. Come find us. That's how I feel about what you just said. Like, someone still watches The Walking Dead.
But legitimately, right? Like, I know nothing's happened because nobody says anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because Game of Thrones is like a perfect thing that every time something happens on Game of Thrones, we have 10,000 posts on it.
Well, every time something happens on Game of Thrones, you better damn well have watched that episode, like, the time it was airing, or...
You're fucked.
You better watch... You
should have seen the East Coast feed of it and not be waiting.
Yeah, 100%. There's no excuse. You can log on. If you have HBO or HBO Go or HBO Now, you can watch as soon as it airs East Coast time. Get on your computer, plug in an HDMI from your TV to your laptop. Whatever you gotta do, do it. Don't be an idiot.
There's a Game of Thrones plug and HBO plug.
Yeah. Just watch it. I'm just kidding. I see something like every day. I know that it's major hype leading up to that final season for that show, but
so excited.
I'm going to be in Chicago at Star Wars Celebration. So like that day at the con, it's going to be like, all right, we're leaving early. We're going to get some food. We'll get like something postmated to our room or like room service or whatever. And we are going to sit our asses in front of the TV. I will bring my laptop to make sure there's no issues. I'll log into HBO.com. We're going to watch this immediately as soon as it's available.
Yep.
I don't care that I'm, you know, on the other side of the country at a convention.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Priorities. But yeah. But again, we don't see that for these shows.
Yeah. Unless you have something set up, you know, like a little like Google alert or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's harder to find that sort of stuff. These fans have a really good fan base, but it's not, it's still funny because I still have to remember sometimes that the CW is not the size network that, you know, ABC, CBS,
yeah,
NBC, that those guys are.
We forget there's only kind of a million people watching this live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a huge number, but not as huge as, you know, the whole world or like, you know, the entire country. So,
yep.
All right. Well, that being said, let's just get right into it. Let's just do it. So Supergirl season 4, episode 16, House of L. Lex's entire master plan was revealed this week. We see the rise of the Red Daughter, whole bunch of nonsense. This episode was directed by Carl Seton, written by Dana Horgan and Eric Carrasco. I'm not sure if I recognize Carl Seton's name or not. I read a lot of names.
No. He's not a normal one for me.
Okay. At the very least, if he has directed another one, it, you know, hasn't been more than once or twice, I think. He's not a regular. Wow. So we didn't get flashbacks last time, really. We got, yeah, like a little, but not like a flashback episode. This was like a half flashback episode. Well, it was like a full flashback episode, really. It just kept
it was
kept
a whole
jumping.
Season of Arrow in 1 hour.
Yeah. My God. Could you imagine if they learned how to condense?
Like, shit, what are we going to do for the rest of the season?
Man. I mean, this is like, there were plot holes that were pointed out either by us or by, you know, other people on the internet. And this entire episode, they were like, but wait, here is all of the reasons that these things happened. It's crazy.
What do you think we accuse them of listening to the internet too much sometimes when it comes, because again, this is a vocal fan base for the CW shows. Do you think that these were planned or, you know?
You know, I think for certain things, like, so we saw how, you know, Red Daughter was saved during the atmospheric poisoning with kryptonite. When Mon-El's family was doing a big old heckin' attack on the Earth.
Which we both all called out, or I think we all called out the poisoning thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that one. It wasn't Mon-El's family. It was...
yeah, it was. That's why she had to send...
I thought it was the Children of Liberty this year when she was gotten the Iron Man suit.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Whenever the atmosphere is poisoned,
I forgot that happened. I'll be real with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that really affect all the way over in Russia? Did we see that? We saw that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like five seconds, because we were like, what happened? Oh, and then that after credit scene.
This is why it's nice to have a little chat. Jogs my memory. Okay. Yeah. Well, whatevs, guys. When that happened, that I totally forgot about, and I'm going to play it off completely now. But when the atmosphere was poisoned with kryptonite, we were questioning, you know, okay, well, what about her? Because she's also Kryptonian. However she came about, you know, how is she okay? How did she just survive that?
How did the Russians know?
Yeah. How would they know that that was happening? How would they know that, like, she was going to need protecting? You know, how were they able to give her means of survival rather than her just being out and being wounded, injured, killed, sick, whatever? However that would have affected her to whatever extent. Probably killed, but maybe not. Maybe just mortally.
I'm very, very badly burnt down here.
Barely hanging on, guys. But yeah, so that was something that I think they had to question that as they were writing it.
Yeah, I believe that one's 100%.
Because that's too big a plot hole. They have to think about, and I think sometimes we forget, you know, it's not like they're writing episode by episode with no overreaching goal.
Yeah.
They have the main story plot written for the season. Now, how they get there, you know, may vary a little bit from here to here. They might go, oh, you know what? We did this. I think we need to change this over here. But the end goal is there. They knew they were doing the Red Daughter stuff. They knew they had that coming. And if you're going to poison the entire world's atmosphere, and if you're going to show us that it reached over to Russia, too, like specifically, you've got to have a plan for that character. So I don't think that that was, you know, them coming back and going, oh, shoot, we forgot about her. That if that was the case, that would be entirely stupid of them.
Bad on them, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're television writers. I think they understand basic principles like that, you know. Now, and then there was the why would Red Daughter pierce her ears? How could she pierce her ears? Blah, blah, blah. Well, now we know. And that was unexpected. We almost chalked it up to, like, I don't know, man. Maybe they just did it to show some sort of differentiating thing between them.
Yeah. I think this was a fire back at the internet. Well, let me take care of
this. Honestly.
When am I going to have this chance? I want you to match. I was like, oh, shit.
I don't think it was. I don't know. Because does Kara wear earrings ever?
Yeah.
She does?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'm assuming she probably got her ears pierced on Krypton before she left.
Probably. But honestly, though, you have to think about things like that when you're Lex and when you know that you're going to want to body swap in little Russian doll for Kara. Well, someone's going to notice if she doesn't have her ears pierced.
Mm-hmm.
Say if, you know, Kara walks out of the room and she was wearing earrings and then there's no piercing there anymore. Someone close to her would notice.
You brought up like the body swap thing. How did either of you want her to be Kara this whole time?
What do you mean?
Like somehow Lex got Kara. And the Russians been playing Kara this whole fucking season.
Oh, no.
Like hardcore, just like shit happened.
Jesus. No,
did you even think about that?
No.
No.
How awesome would that have been? That's all I was thinking. I was like, man, this would be the ultimate Lex move if he had this Russian just trained this whole time. And when she was at her weakness, they grabbed the real Supergirl and swapped it out. And this is why some of the things have been coming up, and it's just like this trained
like
spy.
Alex?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about to happen.
I think
in the next episode.
You think we're going to get a swap sometime?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
For sure.
I also think that she's going to want to speak to Alex, and she's going to give away Kryptonian stuff. She's going to give away, you know, Supergirl. She's gonna make Alex suspicious. She's going to slip up because she's smart and she's trained to an extent. But when she becomes a bit more emotional than she likes to believe when she starts kind of moving towards things that are personal to her. She criticized Kara being, you know, reacting with her emotions. Uh-huh. And she was like, that's selfish. It's undisciplined. But when she wants to know more about herself, she gets more like emotional and more like, I don't know, just motivated by that, a little less disciplined.
So you brought up the Alex thing. Do you think that this is going to be like the end of the Alex story is going to be the Red Daughter outing it?
I think so.
I just hope so.
Why is that, Nicole?
Because I'm tired of it. And I want her to know again.
Does it seem like an easy out?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like that'd be a great way to do it.
It feels like a solid way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... She keeps bringing up Alex, you know. There's the whole her calling Lex Alex. And then there's, you know, Alex coming back to the apartment when she's there with Lex. And there's so much emphasis on Alex that that's going to be some sort of catalyst for Red Daughter. That might be something with how they, you know, end up finding a weakness and beating her. But in any event, I feel like it's going to end the whole Alex thing, or at least it's going to begin the end of it. You know, it's going to bring that up for Alex, and something's going to slip up somewhere. We shall see. I don't know.
You don't think that'll cause like just some weird drama with Alex after, like, why did you guys do this? Or do you think she'll be understanding when they explain, like, hey, we had to wash your mind because you were going to get fucked over by the government?
I mean, I feel like Jean can't he also like share his memories with someone else?
I hope so. I hope they were like bottled up.
Because I don't know if he can restore her actual memories, like from her point of view. But at the very least, I feel like he can connect his mind to hers to share with her, hey, look, from my perspective, from my memory, you asked me to do this.
That's a horrible thing. Like, imagine somebody else trying to reboot your mind with my perspective of a story.
Yeah.
Be like, no, that's how it happened. Okay, in my head it just happened that way, but in your head that you experienced it, you never really, it never really went down the way you.
I mean, that'd be rough.
I mean, it's kind of like when we tell the Foggy story. Everybody has a different version of it, and only one of us really had the experience.
Yeah, Ryan's got a very particular version of it, I think.
Yes.
Hide. Or ooh, my favorite is how Paul and Angelica have two very different accounts of the Elijah Wood encounter.
Okay. Yes, that one is definitely different.
That's hilarious. And the truth is really actually somewhere mostly towards Paul's side, but a little bit in between.
Yeah.
But Paul is the sober one. So
for you guys that don't know, go back and find the DC on CW live edition from Phoenix Comic Con to where we told convention stories. It's a little flashback to that. But again, it's just people telling the stories have different ideas of what actually happened or different accounts of what happened on those nights. And it's just funny because I can see that happening with something like Alex. Okay, Kara, share something with me. Okay, well, yeah, this is how it went down. Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right.
I can't argue against you now because that's truth.
Yeah, all you can do is just be like, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, that's how you say it went.
So, man, we've been watching this whole season play out. We've been watching all the Children of Liberty and all that bull. And turns out... Lex was behind everything. Well, you know, save for Agent Liberty kind of, you know, starting and getting that whole hatred for aliens, you know, as Ben Lockwood, all of that was his experience. And, you know, he started that. But Agent Liberty and the Children of Liberty came about in a way because of Lex.
Well, and I thought with that kind of stuff, it was kind of cool how they showed the whole chess match at the beginning and him being able to play all these different games.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout, you just find out that he's been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, not about the Children of Liberty, but we can use those guys.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, I am satisfied and unsurprised. Like, it was interesting to see all of the things that he was behind, like, for sure. But I think we've had a little bit of a sneaking suspicion that Lex has been behind a lot of things. And every once in a while, we'd be like, do you think Lex is behind this? Do you think Lex is behind this one?
It's the only justification in our heads, I think, at some points of the bullshit that was going on.
And turns out he was behind more than what we thought. Okay, let's go from the beginning of this, though. We start the episode with Lex fighting Supergirl, and he has frickin' powers. Sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads.
That might have been my favorite line.
From Austin Powers?
No. At the beginning, he's like, how did you get powers? Well, I'm Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I'm like, acceptable, right?
Yeah, extremely.
At that moment in time, I was in my kitchen pulling tamales out of my microwave, and he said that, and I just went, oh, I nodded. I was just like,
yep.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Oh, they could use that line in so many situations that we'd all just be like, okay.
Yes, sir.
Where did you get that? I'm Lex Luthor. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough. All right.
Okay. Moving on.
Are you sure that's what it's called? Yes, that's what it's called. How do you know? I'm Lex Luthor. Okay.
All right.
I'm so glad that within this episode where they revealed every little thing that Lex has been behind, every little chess match he's been playing. In addition to that, we got an answer to why, how, when, where, basically, for this Red Daughter. They could have easily, like, dragged that out and given us just like, oh, she came... she showed up one day. Like, that was it, you know?
Yeah, a separate ship crashed.
Yeah.
Her twin sister from Krypton that nobody knew about.
Right. But instead, the Hera-Nell. We got a real, actual reason as to why there's another Kara. And... I don't know. That feels nice. We don't usually get like just solid answers before they're completely necessary.
Again, it was a whole Arrow season in one episode.
Yeah, honestly, though. So it was the split with the rain fight, which I would have to go back and watch that again to totally remind myself of exactly how everything played out and stuff like that. But it was, you know, it was the Rock of Yudakal, the black kryptonite, and it was that magical stone from Krypton that like that one girl picked it up and her hand got stuck to it and stuff, right? That one?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah. And just like I would have to go back and refresh myself, but I kind of want to go back and refresh myself now on how that went as far as with Kara and how we kind of didn't see a split or anything like that, because that was what they split Rain and Sam with.
Yeah.
Who we've had no updates on. I guess Sam's dead now.
They moved away or something. I think they like very briefly mentioned where they went at the very beginning of the season.
We just haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So they're dead.
They're dead.
In TV world. If we haven't seen you, you're dead. Yep, I don't basically. Know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it split Kara in two, but I just don't remember seeing that, I guess.
Well, because it was just one, if I remember right, it was like the fight happened, but then it's like the end. Everybody's happy. Yay, we're going to move away.
Yeah.
And then it was over in Russia. Meanwhile, in Russia.
Meanwhile, in Russia. Yeah.
In the Russian script and then flips to English.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and how did you get to Russia? Like, what? I still have a couple questions, but like, I'm satisfied. I'm good. We're chilling. So, I don't know. Bob, you've got some questions here for us. I'm going to let you lead this.
So,
he's like, oh shit.
Well, no, it's always one of those things. Like, in my head, I know the way TV goes that they would never split it into more than two, right? Just because it could be a crutch.
It would absolutely be a crutch.
Be like, oh, look, it's Pakistani Supergirl.
I feel like it's cooler and better to, if you're going to create more supers, make them different characters and not just Melissa Benoist over and over again.
She's like, I don't know that accent.
Yeah.
I'm like such a big Red Son Superman. It's like my A1 favorite Superman story. You know, the whole what if Elseworld type scenarios are always my favorite.
Yeah.
And I accept this as, you know, possible canon, you know, in my head canon as being a way for this to happen. So I dig it a lot. Just the whole training of it and everything that they've done. And I was worried, I think, more than most. Because, again, this is like my Superman book. This is my Superman story that I love more than any other one. It's always one of those ones I want to buy the Superman shield with the hammer and sickle in it, but I don't want to look like I support commies.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand where it comes from. I'm like, I don't know if I could actually wear that.
Why you got to put it, just display it next to some other Superman Red Son stuff. And that way people are like, is that Superman?
Yeah.
Is he a commie? And then you can be like,
here's the deal.
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Do you like to read? Do you like stories?
Just have extra copies of Red Son to hand out to people.
I'm just going
to
buy digital codes from Comixology to pass out to people on the back of cards.
That'd be perfect.
As they're beating me up.
Questions, read it.
As they're beating me up.
You love Russia.
You're satisfied. You're happy. You're good with this.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think that because I the only reason I even bring it up is because I was so worried after seeing how these people handled Flashpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, another one of my favorite stories out there, and being so disappointed and heartbroken on how. And then I was kind of almost feeling that way because we got the tease at the end of last year, and now we're on week, 16?
Yeah.
And I was getting nervous, like, oh shit, man, they're not gonna do this right. It's gonna be all fucked up, and I'm gonna hate it, and then I'm gonna hate these people now, just like I hated the Flash people there for a while.
Don't make me hate you.
Yeah, you did this to yourselves. But
I feel the same. I'm satisfied with how they're handling it. I don't think they'll ever do, you know, another split, another Supergirl that's not Supergirl. Not in the same context anyway. You know what I mean? We had Nazi Supergirl before.
Yeah.
And that was cool and different and weird for like 3 episodes. But a totally different experience to this. You know, it's not an alternate universe thing. So I don't think we're ever going to see another like Supergirl clone. We've had Bizarro Girl. We have Red Daughter now.
They've run out of options.
Yeah. And I just don't think that they need to do it again. I think this is like a fine way to end off any sort of Supergirl clones.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would. I don't think they're going to split her again. I don't even want to know if there's any sort of repercussions for Kara being split into multiple beings more than once, and whether it's just like DNA getting spliced off and sent over to Russia, or whether it's this? Like, a little piece of her mind goes with her.
It has
like,
to be a little piece of her mind also, because she knew who Alex was.
But then that begs the question, you know, is that just some sort of resonance? Or is this like a full-on, like, clone of Kara, just like Kara 2, that got created from the stone? Or is it like she loses a little piece of herself? Like, we don't know the logistics of this, realistically. The logistics, she says, about a fictional rock that's splitting people in two.
Can you explain the science behind this?
Right, right.
How do they end this?
Oh, God.
Like, because with Kara being Kara, she's not going to be like, oh, yeah, we got to kill the evil kind of version
kill the
of
Kami.
Me. Yeah.
So I think with her memories of Alex and stuff, like I said before, I think it's going to be a catalyst for Alex finding out again about Supergirl, etc. But also it seems to be a point of weakness for Red Daughter. She gets a little bit erratic. She gets a little bit unpredictable. She gets predictable. And she gets emotional when she sees Alex's name, when she sees her picture, when she's digging through Kara's journal, so I think regardless of her feelings about Kara, she wants to know why Alex is the name that she remembers. And if Lex does anything else to make her suspicious, she's going to want to pry. She's probably going to go, I don't think it was you. You know, everyone else calls you Lex. I think this Alex that I remember is that one. Why do I remember her? And she's going to want to know her.
I could see that happening where Red Daughter is totally going to turn on Lex in the end.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think they would kill Lex off, but he could easily die somehow or like have to sacrifice herself.
Sacrificial lamb.
Do we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, do we just run split shifts on Supergirl? All right. I got Monday, Wednesday and Friday and every other Saturday. You have Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday and every other Saturday. Sound good?
Hey, it would make Kara's life so much easier, though.
It would.
Do you think they would send her to Clark?
I don't know.
I mean, in my head, that's the only other option, right?
No,
maybe.
I don't know. She definitely there's too much compassion like in her starting out for her to just go like full on Lex's team. You know, she'll find out that she's being manipulated one way or another. Kara has dealt with the same crap where she goes, oh, this person's nice to me. That means they're nice. Oh, wait, they're a monster. Okay. Like, she wants to trust people. And when people, you know, pretend to be nice, she believes it. But I think Lex has a temper, too. You know, he hides it most of the time, but he does not like to be disobeyed. I think there's going to come a point in time where there's a split between Lex and Red Daughter. She's going to see his true colors more than she is now. She's a valuable asset to him right now. Of course, he's going to nurture her, gain her trust, condition her, as he said. But if he starts to show his real intentions around her, I think she is too much of Kara to stay with him. I think she's bound to turn against him. They've put too much emphasis on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. But I think I don't know how it's going to end and how they're going to deal with her. But I think it's likely she might die or be sent away somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
No idea.
It's just one of those questions. I always go to the end. Like, what's the end game here?
Yeah.
I mean, can't just have two of them floating around.
I just don't. Something about Red Daughter's character makes me not buy her being evil, and her staying on Lex's side. She wants to do good, and she's happy when she's praised for saving a child and for trying to root out, you know, greed and poverty and There's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no way she stays that way. All right. So let's take a quick little break. And when we come back, we'll chat on the rest of this episode.
Kira, look at you dressed like an adult. That's promising.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
And then, like, ants eat your remains. Like, those books got real dark.
For kids.
Or, like, one of them, like, you get...
The fact that Marvel's been doing it for 10 years doesn't mean it's easy.
Hold on, though. Take Marvel out of the equation and forget that they don't even exist. Television has been doing this for decades.
And I stumbled upon it while I was hunting alligators. And this guy starts whistling at you. He beckons you. So I thought it was a mission, like a side mission. So I went, and then I realized what it was when it was too late. Yeah. I walked in, the guy starts...
And that's how they go out. Like, because the rebirth, when they ditched the New 52, because the New 52, they weren't always on the best of terms, they're back together, or, you know, they end up getting back together because they feel something they don't know. They just feel like the universe is pulling them together.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001.
Even that part when he's going to look for it and you're in the middle of the stream and he takes a shovel and he's moving two top rocks with it and he's kicking rocks and there it is.
Yeah, you're telling me you buried this box years ago,
where
right?
It could flood.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That's what I was talking about when it comes to the logic.
Right.
There's like even things that were just illogical thrown in this movie. I'm like, come on, I understand B. Because B movies, there's been some atrocious B movies. But the B movies is some of the cliches, some of the stereotypes, some of the over-the-top action and violence, some of the bad acting, the sleaziness. But there's illogical decisions being made from a directing and writing standpoint. It has nothing to do with the actual movie per se. It's like, come on, you're telling me you couldn't have had a couple PAs say, hey guys, you know what, today you're gonna dig a deep hole about 6 feet deep, please start digging, and then we're going to bury this box in there. How hard would that have been?
Listen up, cowboys and cowgirls, you can now listen to Weird West Radio every Sunday only on Rain Man Digital.
We're back. Let's talk about Lex getting in and out of jail. Oh my god.
Such a manipulative dick. And he has something on everyone.
Literally.
Even Supergirl herself.
Literally everyone. He's able to just let himself into her apartment. But he's getting phone calls from Russia with no problems. The warden's just like, yeah, I felt like Jack Nicholson with those courtside seats. What the hell? He can buy anyone and manipulate the rest of them. So he's taking some vacation time from jail to go train Red Daughter. He ends up taking her to the U.S. and taking her to Kara's apartment to show her, you know, hey, this is how she lives. This is what she likes. You know, take it in. Think about it. You know,
all this food for one person.
First of all, she eats like a monster.
Apparently. Yeah.
Like, she eats so much food. But they talk about it, too, though. You know what I mean?
All this food just for her?
She burns off a lot of energy. But also, in comparison, you know, we saw that little impoverished Russian boy who probably didn't have half that food in his kitchen for both him and his mom.
No.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, by comparison...
She flies it back to him real quick.
It looks greedy.
I mean, she should have.
Yeah, take some grapes for the road, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Now who's selfish? yeah. So, I mean, God, I didn't think I just processed that Lex knows.
Honestly, I was like, when they walked into the apartment, I was like, how the fuck does he know?
Yeah, I want to know how he knows. That's like the one they plugged a bunch of plot holes, but they created this one. How do you know?
Because he's to know. I'm Lex Luthor. That doesn't buy you don't guys, buy it for this excuse.
Nope.
Guys.
Actually, it's really not that hard.
It just hit me. When I said that, it just hit me. Wait a second.
That was totally a Family Guy moment.
It did not process. My brain was just like, yeah, sure. Lex knows everything. That's fine. But right now, now I realize. So I was like, wait a second. Oh boy.
He fucking knows and he's related to Lena.
Honestly, let's be real. Lex is that, you know, that supervillain, that arch nemesis that knows his super's identity. He knows Superman as Clark. He always knows that. He's such a little nosy shit.
Nosy little fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he always finds out. He always does. He's too smart, too calculating, knows too many people. He looks down on people so much for a reason. He's crazy smart. I mean, when you look at it, when you think about it, you know, he's smart enough to make the connections there with James and Kara and Clark and all of this stuff, you know, and he's not dumb. He's way too smart to not figure that out. So I'm just like, yeah, sure. He knows. That's fine. I'm actually amazed that he has not told Lena yet, but at the same time, kind of not, because as he says, Luther's bide their time. He's waiting for the right moment to try and break her relationship with Supergirl.
And that would actually be the best way for her to find out, in my opinion.
I think so, too. At least for our viewing pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Our viewing pleasure.
We
want to
see the train wreck.
Yeah, I want to see this crash and burn.
Oh, shit. It's going to happen.
I definitely want to be like, oh, when that happens. That's how I want to be in my living room. Please don't fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you trust anyone around you if they're not even really telling you the truth? Would you really consider someone who would lie or keep secrets from you, your friends?
Yeah, honestly, in my head, I hear it's and it perfect. Is condescending, fucking arrogant voice.
Yeah.
So calm about it.
I want this to happen so bad. If it doesn't happen, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah, we riot.
Lena.
Perfect.
Oh boy. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Melissa's performance this week. Usual CW fare, you know, nothing she hasn't done before on Supergirl. Playing two characters at one time. Although this week was very, very light on actual, you know, American Supergirl. We really only got her right at the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting a taste of what's to come.
Yeah.
She is in for some work.
I better get double pay if I'm going to be on screen for, you know, 42 minutes of the 43 that are on.
Right? So, for me, her performance as Red Daughter, that Russian accent and stuff, I didn't think for a second, like right away when the episode started that I was watching Supergirl. You know, I was like, okay, this is the Russian chick. This is Russian Kryptonian. That's what this is.
I was impressed that she learned so much Russian.
Me too.
Yeah, that too.
Now, like, she could have been counting for all I know, but
right, same, but.
You always wonder when they do that. It's like, are they really saying real words? Are they saying Russian-like?
I feel like they have to be because they know if they're not, someone somewhere is going to call them out.
The internet will call them out about Pierce Ears.
Especially the internet, you have to be, like, authentic these days.
I'm sure someone somewhere would be like, her Russian accent was actually terrible. Her pronunciation of this word should have been more like this. But
her dialect isn't really proper to where they have her training, so she didn't really list there.
It's more for like the northern part of Russia. You know, the regions down in the south are the ones that sound like that, but she's supposed to be from the north, so.
So why does the accent on the third syllable of the seventh word she said?
We're getting real technical now.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the internet.
But that is the internet.
Inflection is a hell of a thing.
It is.
What? I already turned it off.
I can't do it. I don't
close enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like towards the end of the episode, I was ready to not hear her speak in a Russian accent anymore. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah,
By the end of the episode, it was getting a little weak for me, but throughout most of the episode, it was super solid, and I think maybe I was just like, okay, we get it, fake accent. yeah, I do think that accent aside, too, her performance was great. She wasn't Kara.
I think you see how good Melissa is when she goes up next to John Cryer, which, you know, killed it again.
Murdering this role in a good way.
Yeah. And being able to go like kind of back and forth with him and not lose the scene.
Did you guys ever think that he would be this good?
No. I mean, why lie?
I went in with an open mind. I learned my lesson very long ago when it comes to casting that I just go in with no expectations. But I am very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I'm very surprised.
He is damn good.
I figured he might be cool or something, but he's great.
Yeah.
He's such a good Lex. Every time something like this happens, I think to myself, man, we as consumers really need to stop being so critical before we see things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, casting decisions. Hey, the casting directors sometimes make mistakes or what you feel is a mistake, but also just because someone primarily does one thing doesn't mean they can't do another thing. Yeah. They saw something that we didn't. We weren't in that casting room. We didn't see any sort of audition tapes. So, you know, we should all probably lighten up sometimes, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you're right though, with everything. You know, previews, trailers, just like you said, casting announcements. People fucking, oh, this movie's gonna be shitty. Why?
Yeah, they're like that with like Aladdin right now.
Yeah.
Like, case in point, right now is the genie in that casting. So
yeah,
based off of 2.5 minute trailer.
Uh huh.
It's Will Smith. No shit, it's Will Smith. What do you think Will Smith does? Will Smith stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We know that he can act differently.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen different movies like The Pursuit of Happiness. We know he can act, but also he gets cast in these comedic roles for the way he handles comedy.
Yeah.
Which is always going to be a Will Smith delivery.
Yeah. You're going to get the Fresh Prince.
It's like when you're casting Robin Williams in a comedy movie, he's going to play different characters, but he always has something Robin Williams about him. You know?
Exactly.
Add, I guess. Sorry, guys.
I should have laughed. I don't know why.
Yeah, man.
Rude.
I was speaking in present tense and realized that
I don't know why. I was like, oh, shit, but I just laughed on mic. Oops.
So anyway, back to Lex Luthor.
Back to not dead people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can pick a favorite scene with him this week. There, we got so much of him this episode. I don't think I have a favorite because they are all very good.
I think the Lexo suit was it for me.
That's fair.
Just because seeing it live on Lex.
As opposed to just like basically a prop in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or some version of it on Alex, I think, in season one.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
I can't even pick a favorite. There's so many good ones.
Okay, so boy, Miss Tessmacher.
Bitch.
Yeah.
I hate her so much. She's so like that character is she's playing that role so well.
I am impressed and very upset with her right now. We are not on speaking terms.
Yes.
Watching how far back this goes, where she met Lex, the fact that she's been a fan of Lex's work forever. She used to write him letters. All of this stuff, man, it goes so far back to James first starting at Catco.
All the way back. Yeah.
Because Eve came in not too long after she came in. Just before Mon-El.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, did she come in season two or season three?
I can look it up real quick.
But she came in so early on after Kara, I think it was season three, maybe. I don't know. But Kara, you know, she moves up in the world, starts reporting, isn't Kat's assistant anymore after a little bit. And Eve takes over. And it's all because James is at Catco. And then she moves to L Corp, which we questioned. And we were like, oh, that's funny. How did Lena know that she could do all those things? Well, guess what? It's because Eve sought her out and said, hey, listen, I have these skills and these degrees. Let me work with you. Because I'm going to spy on you. And
it's just the foreshadowing of she'll be more valuable in the future than you think.
Yeah.
She's been on since 2016, so that's 3 years now.
Yeah, I mean...
So she started season four or three? Yeah.
God, he thinks so long-term.
Yeah. And it's so awesome that they again, another one that they somehow magically tidied it up in 6 minutes. It just shows you how precise the writing was and everything that we're just like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Buy it. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I can do more than just, you know, be an assistant. Oh, you will. Bob.
I'm just struggling today.
Bob.
You shouldn't give me things over here.
I think that. We've criticized flashbacks on shows a lot, and they've definitely gotten better, I think, across the board on CW. I don't think flashbacks, they're certainly not what they were, you know, Arrow season one, Arrow season two. But this was such an amazing use of them because it wasn't tedious. We covered a lot of ground fast, but it didn't feel like they missed anything. It feels like they gave us more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like I came over for dinner and you sent me home with a bottle of wine, leftovers and pie. What? It was so well done. You're absolutely right, Bob. The writing was so precise with all of this. Every little detail was tied up. Every single one.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was no fluff.
No.
There was no, like, let's go over and see what Brainy and Dreamer are doing.
Yeah, no, none at all.
You know,
they didn't even need it.
None of us cared, right?
Yeah.
Even the stuff with the little kid, Mikhail.
Yeah.
Even the stuff with him, it served a purpose because it became, you know, it became a reason for her to hate America.
Mm-hmm.
Also... Do you think that little kid being alive is going to come back to haunt fucking Tweedledum later?
Yes.
Yes.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
And also will be another weak point for
Lex's team.
Yeah, a Russian Supergirl.
Yeah. For her specifically, yeah. He's got some weak links, and I don't feel comfortable doubting Lex, but at the same time, there has to be something he doesn't notice, right? Otherwise, how do we beat him?
Otherwise, it's too, like, God mode.
I mean, he is God mode. All right, so, I mean, final thoughts on the episode, then. I think we are there. I don't even know where to begin. Bob, you said earlier that someone gave this episode 2 stars.
Yeah, I was just looking... Rude. You know, through reviews, and they gave it 2 stars. I was like, you don't know what the fuck you're watching then. Because I was looking at the cast for this week. And anytime that you can say Jesse Rath, credit only, Sam Witwer, credit only, Nicole Maines, credit only, Haley, credit only, David Harwood, credit only, like a huge main characters to this season didn't show up. And I don't think any of us cared. That says something about how strong this episode was. Because a lot of times when people don't show up, or they're like, what the fuck? We complain about it. Like, they could have used them here. It's like, you had so much. And even like Jimmy Olsen and all them weren't pushed in a lot of the episodes. It was so Lex-centric. You see what John Cryer does on the screen. And I don't know how you could ever give that 2 stars. If you appreciate any kind of writing, any kind of, I don't know, it's just that review kind of just threw me off a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that that's accurate. I know it's an opinion, but like, how?
Yeah, it's an opinion. Like, people give opinions and you ask them why, and like, just because.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What? That's not a reason. Like, if you write reviews, I think the thing is, like, we've all learned on this network that when we give reviews, we have to give a reason why. It can't just be just because. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
If you're out there to going to the masses and saying, oh, well, this is why, A, B, and C.
Well, someone else on the internet said it was stupid, and so I thought it would be cool to agree with them. Yeah. I'm also Jimmy Neutron. Just kidding. I'm Carl.
Carl.
Carl's friend. Or Jimmy Neutron's friend, Carl. That's more who that sounds like.
But I think any time that we can, you know, our news segment's normally like a 10-minute intro to our show. Anytime that we can fill our hour without having to worry about, you know, some kind of news topic.
Filler? We can fill the episode with just the episode and just not the episode. Filler.
And we left so much shit out that we could probably continue on for another 30 minutes. It was probably a damn good episode. I mean, because like I said, we really didn't talk about the kid. We didn't talk about, you know, the meaning behind all the books that he sent her and, you know, for training and having her read. And, you know, there was just so much depth to this episode. I don't know how anybody could ever give it 2 stars.
It didn't feel like too much, though, either.
No.
It was well written. Everything served a purpose, but everything felt like it flowed naturally, not like, oh, we have to hit this point. Oh, we also have to touch on this over here. We can't forget to throw that in there.
And I think the most, like, we talked about, like, our favorite scene, the most Lex thing he did was in court and poison everybody.
Oh, God.
Right?
Why don't we make it 32 years?
Yeah. Or, yeah, 32 counts.
Yeah, 32 counts. Sorry. Yeah. It's 32 life sentences and or 31 life sentences or whatever. And he said, why don't we make it 32?
And everybody dies.
That's amazing.
Right? Like, there was a season worth of amazing in one episode.
Honestly, yeah. It is incredible how on point that is. It really is like an entire season's worth of Arrow plots in one episode.
The twists, the turns. We bought everything. I don't think any of us have any question about what the go-forward plan is for this.
I don't have any questions about anything anymore, I don't think. I'm sure I'll think of something as soon as I'm done with this sentence. But but no, honestly, though, I'm not really questioning anything. I don't feel like there's any plot holes left. I don't feel like there's any mystery to anything anymore, in a good way, not in a like, well, what's left?
what's left? A fucking fight?
Yeah. We're getting up there in episodes, and we're getting to a point where, you know, we're going to have to see them start facing off. We're going to start seeing a bunch of espionage bullshit with Red Daughter and Kara. You know, she's going to be swapping in and stuff like that. Real quick, question. Do you think that Lex pierced her ears just, you know, so that she could be Kara's body double, basically?
Yeah.
Do you also think that maybe there's anything in them at all?
Oh, trackers.
Anything.
They gotta be trackers.
Yeah, trackers or something, you know?
Little kryptonite bombs to blow her head up.
Oh my god.
What? It's Lex!
It's Lex.
It is. It's so
blow
true.
Her head off, Suicide Squad style. Yeah.
Yep.
Do what I want or you're dead. They're kryptonite bombs.
He has to have some sort of
control mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah. He has to have some you know, big red button for emergency, you know.
I don't need two of them angry at me.
Yeah. All right. Nicole, do you have any last anything?
Like, I don't even know. Like, it's so good. This whole episode was amazing. I'm really excited for next week. There was only one spot where the CGI had me going, wow, okay. And that was at the very beginning when...
Because he looks all funky running with the globe above his head.
Yeah. That was literally the only... Like, if I had any complaints about it, it's that small, tiny, little 5-second scene. And that's it.
Okay.
That's how good this episode was.
I can't believe I forgot this question. and we can finish it off with this. Does James have powers also?
Yes.
Totally.
Okay.
I did totally forget about that. Yeah, he has to.
Because that was the first thing I thought.
He's gotta.
Right?
If Lex has them, like, Jimmy has to have them.
Yeah, he's gotta. All right. Well, on that super-powered, super best friend, best pal of Superman, Jimmy Olsen.
A lot of supers.
On that note, super, 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 this is going to be the end of today's DC on RMD Supergirl edition. I just want to say super with like every word now. You can always catch our past and future episodes on DCOnCW.com for now.
Yeah.
Until we get that switched over. Our social media is starting to switch over too. If you already follow us, obviously you'll find it. You'll see it. Our Instagram for sure has changed, right?
Instagram and Twitter have changed. It's now DC on RMD.
Woo-woo.
On both of them.
Yay!
Yay!
No more underscores!
Super!
Super! So, at DC on RMD. Our Facebook is probably going to stay the same until we get that switched over. And we will see you next week for more horribly Luther-rific escapades.
Super.
Super.
People want cuddles.